Let's freaking go. It's all coming to a head this weekend in New Orleans, Louisiana with the Sugar Bowl. I cannot tell you how many times I've been to Sugar Bowls. I truly have lost count. I believe I've been to 13. It is the single best bowl game outside of the Rose Bowl that I have ever attended, and it's going to be Ole Miss versus Georgia, and it's got to come down to this. The Ole Miss Rebels, the single most hypocritical fan base and operation I have ever seen. They are bitching and complaining and moaning about the word that is so overused in college football, tampering, because everybody tampers. It's that rule that everybody knows always gets broken. And what did Ole Miss fans say was the number one reason they did not want Lane Kiffin to be able to coach a bowl game? It's because they did not want him coaching players from the Ole Miss team to LSU. And then it was the whole, well, our pride, it's the rival, we are now little brother, if you will. The truth is simple. And it doesn't matter how you slice it up. It doesn't matter how you counter argument. Whatever I have to say tonight, it's true. If you were going to allow the six, counted six Ole Miss staffers that are now at LSU, you're allowing six of them to coach in this bowl game versus Georgia. If it was such a big deal, why would you not let Lane coach the game? Six. There are six LSU coaches that are coaching for Ole Miss. I don't have a problem with it. I don't. Because guess what? Rational people allow rational people to finish where they start. I didn't like the way Frank Wilson coached the Texas Bowl. He coached it terribly. Made three all-time bad decisions. It tells you why. He was a losing coach at UTSA. He was a losing coach at McNeese. He's a fine running backs coach, a great recruiter, an all-time great recruiter, but he sucks as a head coach. But I would never have disallowed him to finish what he started as the interim coach. All Ole Miss had to do was let Lane Kiffin coach the bowl game. And the distraction wouldn't be as big as it is now. It simply would not be. But no, Ole Miss, who has never won anything. Let me remind you, this man made you relevant. You've had Eli Manning. You've had Deuce McAllister. You did nothing on a national scale the way that Lane Kiffin has won nationally with this team. And you had to puff your mighty bird chest out into the world that, hey, we are not going to let Lane Kiffin coach in this bowl game. And now you have the audacity as a fan base and as a team and as a program to complain about tampering? Really? What did you think was going to happen? I could argue it's even worse. You should have just let Lane coach it. You should have just let him coach in the bowl game. And Ole Miss fans are just constantly complaining about everything under the sun regarding Lane Kiffin and this move. There was a story that came out today. Ryan Clark told the masses that he texted Lane Kiffin every single day to go to LSU when Brian Kelly was fired. Every single day. And people are mad about that. That it's a grand conspiracy that ESPN wanted Lane Kiffin to go to LSU. But the truth is, who does it help ESPN the most? That Lane Kiffin makes another program nationally relevant in Ole Miss? Or that he goes to LSU, where Ole Miss is just going to go down, maybe, you know what, without Lane Kiffin there? I don't buy into a grand conspiracy, and people are complaining about Ryan Clark now. And I'm not the one to defend Ryan Clark. I don't know Ryan Clark. I met him one time. Was it the most pleasant experience? But in this case, Ryan is well within his right. He is well within his right to tell Lane Kiffin, hey, go to LSU. It's a better job. Because Ryan Clark played at LSU. He knows LSU better than anyone. So why are Ole Miss fans constantly complaining about it? And then when you tweet something out about how big of a hypocrite Ole Miss actually is, You then get hit with the memes over and over. Well, LSU fans can't quit talking about Ole Miss. And guess what? A few of these Twitter accounts have grokked me. And they asked Grok, the AI people, to say, hey, how many times has Carter talked about Ole Miss? How many times? Well, the truth is, I've not really talked about him a whole heck of a lot. On Twitter, that is. I mostly focused in on what we have to do. But I just wanted to say this publicly before the game begins. The way Ole Miss handled this, to the point where they weren't going to let Lane coach unless he signed an extension. Remember, that's a key fact. They were like, hey, Lane, you've got to sign this extension before we go into the bowl game. You've got to sign. Well, Lane should have been afforded the opportunity to wait till the end of the season to decide what he wanted to do. And guess what? Ole Miss was going to get to let him coach this for free. We're paying all his bonuses. I'm telling you right now, they are the single dumbest fan base I have ever interacted with. So dumb. They were the nastiest burner fan base when it comes to a team that we played this year. I got so many Kyren Lacy jokes. And then I got called a homophobic slur a little bit earlier today by an Ole Miss fan just pointing this out. And I know not all Ole Miss fans are like this. I like Ole Miss. I stayed at the Graduate, went to a hotel, the Graduate Hotel, and went to a wedding in Oxford a few weeks before the season began. I like Oxford. I think it's great. I do think the Grove is a little overrated. But the truth is, I have never seen such a fan base so thin-skinned as this one. Not Alabama, not Tennessee, not Florida. And I cannot wait for Lane to put these sons of you-know-whats in their places when we go to their house in week three next season. I can't freaking wait. I cannot freaking wait. I'm looking at you right now. You better hit that subscribe button, ring the bell, because you don't want to miss me doing a show on that very night. Now, I do want to include, I get that Ole Miss fans are hurt. I get it. I'm not going to be naive to the fact that your program isn't a great program without Lane and that you need him to be successful. And, you know, your team was in a bowl game in the playoff and Lane still told you you aren't good enough. I get it. I can understand that hurts your feelings. But you didn't act right. And it's partially because, you know what your grandmama always told you, act like you've been there before. But this is the thing about Ole Miss fans. They've never been here before. So they don't know how to act. They don't. Okay? The only championship you won is thanks to Mike Bianco. An LSU guy, by the way. So, take this for what it's worth. Best of luck to Ole Miss fans as Gunnar Stockton is about to ram it down your freaking throats. Bring it! Now, next thing, I'm going to talk about a few transfer portal targets, and there was a report a little bit earlier today, and it's being passed around that there is a transfer portal QB target that is heavily considering going to LSU. And if you are a PHL patron, by the way, if you sign up today, if you sign up right now, I will cover your first month of the PHL Patreon. I will cover it. If you sign up during this live stream, we've had quite a few people sign up when I do this and I offer to pay it. They see the Patreon and what we provide, and then they tell me, hey, don't worry about it. Happened twice the last time I did this. I'm going to do it again now. This is New Year's Eve. I'm in a great giving mood. And guess what? This Saturday, I'll be at the Shreveport Card Show, the biggest card show ever in the city of Shreveport. Dustin Poirier will be there. And there is meet and greets you could purchase. I don't get anything from the purchase. They're also not paying me to be there. I just go because I love this show. Colvin and his team, they have worked their asses off. This is their biggest show that they have ever done. I will be set up there at the Shreveport Convention Center. I want to see you there. Okay, and I'm giving out a good bit of my collection. It's starting to take up too much space. I'm working on new projects, trying to find a way for me to play football again at 37 years old or soon to be 37 years old. So I'm giving away a good bit of my collection this weekend. Selling some of it too, some of my Burrow stuff. So we'll see you this weekend. All right. Now, Brennan Sorsby is the quarterback, the Cincinnati transfer that a few Texas college football reporters have said that the agents that work the phones are saying that Sorsby seriously wants to go to LSU. A guy by the name of Bobby Burton is reporting this, and I think it was Jerry Hamilton when I was doing my prep. Let me make sure. I think that's right. I need to go check on that. And he's backed that up. All right. We have talked about Brennan Sorsby for weeks. Wink, wink, nod, nod. And I said in the Patreon, that is one of my deepest cut, most likely scenarios for LSU at the quarterback position going into next year. And what I think could happen is you see the thumbnail image. It's Deuce Knight. And I might actually change it to Charlie Weiss because I want Charlie Weiss to do well versus Georgia. But Sorsby is a great fit for what Lane wants to do. The biggest concern about Sorsby is when he played the better competition, he did not play as well as he did throughout the course of the season. But Sorsby is a very good runner. He's probably the same level of runner as a guy like Diego Pavia. All right, if we were to put this on a scale to give you guys just some insight of what Sorsby could bring to the table here, Jaden Daniels, Lamar Jackson, Jalen Milroe, that's a top tier of being a runner at the quarterback position. And then Johnny Manziel, of course. And then that next tier is your thicker red zone types, right? I would put a guy like Tim Tebow in that next tier. And then that tier below that of being a QB or having the ability to run at the quarterback position is about where Sorsby is. All right, that's a Pavia tier. That's a Gunnar Stockton tier of he's solid and he can kill you with their legs. Chambliss is probably in that tier as well, probably a little bit better than Sorsby as a runner. But he's gifted. I mean, he can scoot. So I am always in on bringing a quarterback that can move. And to me, you know, I tweeted this out yesterday. Which quarterback do you want to see a film study of more than anyone else? And I gave all of you the option. And the one that got chose the most was Sam Leavitt. But I believe number two was Brennan Sorsby. Okay, I'll pull up the quote for you right now, or the poll for you right now. And for me, Sorsby's probably my number two guy in terms of LSU getting someone. And look, this could just be agent fodder. Okay. So these are the poll results. I think this is also how a lot of you feel about the quarterback position. Sorsby was number two. So I already started a Sam Leavitt film study, but I'll do a Sorsby one as well. I might move Sorsby ahead because there is this report out there. But God, I would love him in the purple and gold. I would. And once again, the level of competition is going up quite a bit. I think of the two, Leavitt has played in more big games. Right? So here's a report, just to let you know I'm not making this up, from Mr. Bobby Burton. Some agent scuttlebutt. It sounds like former Cincinnati quarterback Brennan Sorsby is most likely headed to LSU at this point. Okay. And I'll do a few quotes. Let me see if I can find. There you go. Jerry Hamilton. All right. So this is a recruiting insider. It's kind of weird that both of them are in Texas reporting on a Cincinnati quarterback especially considering neither of the two big Texas schools are in the quarterback market at all. At least I don't think they are. So take that for what it's worth. Okay? Now, I've ranted long enough. We're going to get to as many questions as we possibly can. Let's go to Damon. Honestly, wasn't that impressed with Levitt. Yeah, you know, he battled through some things this year. But I will say, the Texas Tech game was really good. Now, that game was at home. But he balled out. And he was the only quarterback to beat by far the best team in the Big 12. This was probably the season where the gap between the best team in the Big 12 and the second best team in the Big 12 was as wide as it's been since maybe those prime Oklahoma years of Sam Bradford and then, of course, Baker Mayfield and so on. That's how good Texas Tech was. And he beat them. And once again, he beat them at home. But he was under heavy duress. That Texas Tech defensive line is probably better than any defensive line in the SEC this season. Their defensive line coach won defensive line coach of the year. And all Levitt did was found ways to get it done. Something else about Levitt. Comfortable doing the RPO stuff. It's a big part of what Lane likes to do. It's not the only thing that Lane likes to do. And, you know, Levitt was surrounded by some really, really, really good football players. You know, you look at what Sorsby did, his supporting cast, as far as skill guys, wasn't nearly as good as Levitt. So, of course, Levitt, 2 years ago, had the best running back in the sport, in Cam Scataboo. This past year, he had the best wide receiver. Draft eligible wide receiver. I think most would say it's Jeremiah Smith. Mekhi Lemon won the Biletnikoff, but Jordan Tyson's going to be the first receiver selected in the NFL draft, and he was in and out of the lineup, but he did play in that Texas Tech game, and that helped. They also have Malik Brown, a good running back at Arizona State. But the truth is, when Levitt was healthy, he was still fine. Okay? Nighthawk says, I have watched all the film on portal quarterbacks. Give you DJ Lagway. Yeah, our DJ Lagway film study is up. Uh-oh. Master Lester. I'm down. I'm playing 37U. Ole Miss wins press conferences, says Detrovic. I love it. Dustin the Diamond Poirier. Yeah, he'll be there this weekend. Super excited about that. I don't know if I'm going to get to meet him, though. Even though he is one of my favorite UFC fighters of all time. Any UFC fighter from Lafayette is who I'm down with. All right. Now, what I want to do is go through the big report today from Ross Dellinger of YahooSports.com. Okay. So Deli, of course, great reporter. I know Deli. Solid guy. He unfollowed me on Twitter, though. I don't know if he's got beef with me or not. All right. So this was a report from Sugar Bowl Media Day in New Orleans, Louisiana. I've been to a few Sugar Bowl media days, normally pretty fun, okay? Charlie Weiss Jr. says it's definitely unique. It's certainly weird coaching for Ole Miss and then also coaching for LSU. So one big thing about this report is that Lane Kiffin himself might attend the game this weekend. All right. He might be in the governor's booth with Governor Landry, who he has a really good relationship with. And what's very interesting about that is they said if it does happen, they're going to increase security. Now, what's interesting about that is Lane is cheering for Ole Miss, right? He wants his players to win it all. He also gets a bonus if Ole Miss wins. So it's a win-win, right? I don't understand if Lane goes to this game, if Ole Miss fans are going to treat him poorly. If Pete Golding is all of that in a bag of chips and you still win the game, that's actually a good thing. That might be telling you, hey, you might not need Lane. Everybody wins. So if Lane actually goes to the game and the TV cameras catch him and then there's Ole Miss fans causing a distraction, it makes no sense. So basically, the gist of this report is this quote right here from Walker Jones. Okay, so the most explosive thing is that Lane might actually go to the game. But the biggest thing is what we led the show off with, which is the tampering. All right, so the tampering is what everyone is worried about. And Walker Jones, the NIL collective director in Oxford, basically says that that is what's going on. Well, no duh, because the assistants have a job to do at their new job. And the single most important thing for them at their new job right now is recruiting players. The most important thing for their final job or their last job at Ole Miss is to actually coach the players that they have. So if they were put into a situation where they have to recruit their players to go to LSU, that's what they're getting paid to do. In Ole Miss, you are allowing this to happen. If you really wanted to stand on business, and if you really had a spine, and you wanted to talk all this game towards Lane Kiffin, and you said, Lane, you can't coach in this bowl game because we can't let you do that and then take our players and all of that, then you should have never have left Charlie Weiss come back to the team. It should not have happened, but you let it happen. It's crazy to me. And then this goes on. I won't read all of this, but basically the boosters where we're talking about how angry Lane was or how angry they are with Lane. And I get that. You know, it's a little bit different when you're giving the guy as much as some of these boosters gave the Ole Miss program. I get that. Once again, I'm not even mad at Ole Miss fans being mad. It's just some specific things that they are mad about. All right. Trinidad Chambliss says he's not even spoken to Kiffin. And he said, I don't even think that's allowed right now. We still don't know what's going to happen with Trinidad's waiver. All right. This was another explosive quote. Kwon Lacey said he's had conversations about his future with the outgoing assistant coaches and the incoming new assistant coaches and the holdover assistant coaches. Yes, there are three kinds of assistants on this team, but Lacey says he's focused on the main thing, which are the playoffs. Okay. Here's Charlie Weiss basically admitting what we were saying a little bit earlier. You spend the whole day grinding together with the game plan, and at night, you've got to go to the opposite sides of the building and take care of recruiting meetings on our own deal. It's a crazy deal. Okay. In fact, new Ole Miss assistants, they have been sitting in on individual meetings to make sure that the LSU-bound assistants aren't tampering. And that there was some half-joking. And you see some thigh flab ads going on here. And then the staff members are, of course, telling Ross, hey, we're really high on Frank Wilson coming in to fix some of this, as well as Austin Thomas. I thought it was very strange that Austin Thomas had a headset on for Georgia's playoff game, okay? Matt Bowers, who I like a lot. I will not say anything bad about Matt Bowers. I've interacted with him on Twitter a few times. Bowers is a car dealership owner who's actually from Louisiana, and he's an Ole Miss booster. And he has signed some NIL deals with our players. So you won't hear me say a bad word about him. And I actually think he's a very interesting commentator in his own right. Then we continue here. The Ole Miss golf coach had a very good relationship with Lane Kiffin. You know, with everything in life, every last thing you could think of in life, there's always going to be somebody named Chris involved. If you name your child Chris, it is very basic, but at the same time, the likelihood of that kid being successful goes way up. Of course, there was somebody named Chris involved in this story. The NIL director of Ole Miss confirms that Lane and him still talk. I will tell you this. Bet the farm on the Georgia Bulldogs. So there you go. Now, before we go to break, I do want to shout out our friends at Labor Therapy and LaborTherapy.com. Love them. Please book your appointment today. If you're in the Lafayette region, there are 5 different locations where you can get that body right. LaborTherapy.com. Okay. Now, next thing. I want to briefly discuss a take that we had over the last week regarding the women's basketball schedule. All right, I wanted to get this before the break, and I'll only touch on it briefly because someone was pretty angry that, you know, I said what I said, saying that, you know, the women's basketball team is always not scheduled the most difficult teams in the non-conference. It doesn't mean you can't win at all. All I was saying is it would be nice if almost every non-conference game was not decided by 80, which most of them have been. The closest game we have played was at Duke, and we beat them by 16. I love non-conference college basketball games because they don't really hurt your resume. They really don't. You can lose all of them that you play versus difficult teams, and they might not penalize you as much if you actually are a 500 team in conference. Okay? I just wish we had more competitive non-conference games. Okay? There are some bowls going on right now. Illinois by 3 over Tennessee. I will be tuning in to TCU versus USC tonight. I'm also kind of excited that our bowl game is in the rearview mirror. And coming up next, there was one guy, and this goes against everything I say about bowl game performances, but there was one guy that really stood out to me in the game versus Houston, and I think it's a good sign for what's next for him next year.
Power Hour Network listeners and viewers, you might be consuming this content with that crick in your back that you've been trying to get rid of for so long. Take this as your sign today to book your appointment with LaborTherapy.com. In the Lafayette region, there is no one that you will find that cares more about any different type of pain that you might have than the team at LaborTherapy.com. Book today. Once again, that's LaborTherapy.com, or you can visit one of their 5 locations all throughout the Lafayette region.
All righty, I want to talk about PJ Woodland. Played 87 of 87 snaps. So he had to carry the load laid out by Mansoor Delane opting out of the bowl game, which I agreed with. In particular, if you're a first-round pick, the value of LSU having a first-round pick in basically every NFL draft outweighs that player playing in a mostly inconsequential bowl game. But PJ Woodland getting a 73.5 grade on 87 snaps basically to me means he was the highest graded player. But Deshaun Spears also played the full 87 and also, to me, had his best game of the season. Don't give me Florida where he had those interceptions. He played 9 snaps in that game. To play the full 87, So, why is that relevant? Well, LSU is missing their two best players for the future. Okay. The two best players on LSU's team. And there really, to me, wasn't anyone close to these two guys. Was A.J. Halsey and Mansoor Delane. They were on a tier of their own. Now, I'm not saying there weren't other good players. But those two were so unfreaking believably dominant that you really have to question, can we actually replace that? I don't think Woodland, and I also don't think somebody like Spears could be as good as those two next season. But they were, to me, good in the bowl game. Now, Pickett was the one who had the tough game. But P.J. Woodland is a very interesting player. And it gets into, to me, another interesting guy that LSU is bringing in. And I watch him a decent amount now. Is Havon Finney coming in from California. This is the prototypical Corey Raymond corner. Long arms. Very athletic. High upside. Needs a little seasoning. But he's good. He is smooth. He scored a lot of touchdowns, which shows his playmaking ability. So, you know, I have been so concerned about the future of the LSU defense without Delane and without Halsey, because if you really begin to strip down some of LSU's performances to the studs, outside of really the Clemson game where we didn't have a Halsey in the first half and everybody on the defense was unfreaking believably dominant, so much of what our defensive success came down to those two guys just being BAMFers, Pro Bowl level, NFL level players on our team. But man, Spears was good. Woodland was good versus Houston. The overall defensive performance wasn't great. But the sign of a corner and a safety doing his job is a 5.3 yard per play average. Meaning, those two, along with Cooley, did a good job mitigating the damage. And if you were to look at one thing that LSU did a better job of this year, and it's a big reason why the LSU defense remained dominant, and you have to give Blake Baker a lot of credit with this, we were so much better at defending the touchdown-saving tackle. You have got to make the last line of defense tackles. If you don't make them, you will give up a lot of points. What was my major criticism of Sage Ryan? It wasn't that he didn't make plays. I could care less if you make plays. It's really hard to make plays on defense. Is that we didn't get the plays that we expect safeties to make. We expect you to make that tackle on Jaden Ball to keep us in the game versus Florida. He couldn't do it. We expect you to stop Lenora Sellers from turning a 15-yard gain to a 60, 70-yard gain. At least slow him down. If you go back and watch a Houston game, DJ Pickett ran down a running back, made a difficult touchdown-saving tackle. Cooley had a few big plays. And to me, the defining play of this game, and it was my highest graded defensive play of the entire game, was P.J. Woodland on a 3rd and 7. We were fooled by a little jet sweep handoff on 3rd and 7. And Houston had three guys to block R2. And the two players that were out there that could have made a play was P.J. Woodland and Tamarcus Cooley. They should have picked up that first down. But what did P.J. Woodland do as a corner? He took on the slot wide receiver, Zero, who tore us up, but he was an abysmal blocker. He ate his lunch, then dove underneath to get the ball carrier's legs in the air, and that allowed Tamarcus Cooley to get a clean hit stick to where it not only wasn't a first down, they gained the absolute minimum. Those two, they could have simulated that in practice versus dummies, and it wouldn't have been as good as they did in actual live action. So, you know, and going back and watching the bowl game over, you can't take too much away from a bowl game. You simply can't. In particular, at the quarterback position, we have shared that PHL stat a gazillion times over. But PJ Woodland was so damn good in that game. And I know our number one thing this offseason is said, hey, we have got to make sure we get DJ Pickett back. And that is true. He will probably be our best defensive player next year. But PJ Woodland was one that had a good bowl game. PJ Woodland's one that's been in the program for a while. PJ Woodland was a Louisiana three-star, even though he was from Mississippi. Those are the kind of guys that have won LSU so many championships. And one final thing on Woodland, that is more so a recruiting trend, because there's this big thing as far as, hey, what should Lane Kiffin do for the future of LSU recruiting? Should he get into the transfer portal, or should he recruit more out of high school? Because obviously we're in Louisiana, we're neighboring to Mississippi, and of course Lane knows Mississippi pretty well. Mississippi has been good with us from PJ Woodland all the way down to Stephen Ridley. Shout out Natchez. What should we do as far as recruiting is concerned? Well, if Mr. Bing Glasscock decided to call me up and say, Carter, you've been doing LSU stuff for a while. You study recruiting data, recruiting trends, and all of that. Do you have anything that you would like to share with me? And for those that don't know, Ben Glasscock is the new general manager at LSU. Came over with Lane Kiffin. It would be the following. That high school three stars are starting to hit at a lower rate. And I think there's a few different reasons as to why. The recruiting services have gotten better. They have just gotten better at this. I've talked to a few of the evaluators that actually do this, including one that's been on our channel. And They just know what to look at now to judge which players are the best. You can even see it at the NFL level. They've gotten a hell of a lot better picking who the best players are. Now, there's still fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh round guys that slip through the cracks. Yeah, Brock Purdy, whoever you want to mention. But the evaluators who actually do this, and we do our own grades on Patreon. You can see them all for yourself. Everybody's gotten better at this. I've gotten better at this. The one thing, as far as three stars are concerned, over the past five seasons that has worked out well for LSU is that defensive back. That's where a lot of three stars have really been dudes at LSU. And I think there's a few different reasons as to why. There's always going to be more defensive backs on the field than basically any other defensive position that you have on the team. That's one thing. So it's just a volume thing that there's just going to be more of those types of guys. But, you know, the second thing is DB, I think, is way more harder to evaluate than receiver, simply because, you know, you play both when you're in high school for the most part. But you look, there have been so many three stars that we have recruited out of high school, and they do nothing. Our three-star hit rate has actually gone down, except at defensive back, where we had Jay Ward. We had Cordell Flott. And even though he wasn't that great, in particular towards the end of the season, Ashton Stamps led our team in snaps last year. And then, of course, PJ Woodland, who's now doing what he's doing now. Okay? So, you know, and it kind of lends itself to, as we get into the portal here, where are the guys? Who should we go after? Well, there's big fish, and my dream target, the guy that I consider to be right now by far the best player in the transfer portal, is Cam Coleman. Cam Coleman, going into this season, was my best player in the SEC, period, at any position. I called Cam Coleman out producing Ryan Williams. Cam Coleman was my number one player at a higher grade in him than Jeremiah Smith. And obviously Jeremiah Smith is better, but it's close. Very close. Smith has a quarterback. Smith has an actual coach. He has an infrastructure. He's got weaker competition. So Cam Coleman's the best player in the portal. And he would come here and be really good. Now, is he like Malik Nabers good? No, I mean, he's so different than a lot of the LSU receivers that have come in here. You know, he's probably closer to a, like, better version of Terrace Marshall than he would be Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, Malik Nabers type. I think Terrace is probably the receiver he most closely resembles. I think BTJ is a little bit different. But I will say Cam Coleman's better than Brian Thomas Jr. As much as that pains me to say, he is better than him. And BTJ set some rookie records. I am that high on Cam Coleman. So, is there any LSU steam? Well, Pete Nakos said, and this is some, you know, paywalled stuff, but he said Texas and Texas A&M are the schools to look out for. But what I could tell you, I can go back and listen to our live streams when he actually made the visit. I was jumping for joy when Cam Coleman made a high school visit to LSU. Kid is special. He is special. But he's also going to get $2 million. Do you want, at the very least, do you want to spend $2 million on Cam Coleman? I think it's worth it. Because I do think he's that good. Hell, he was that good this year. He's as close to a sure thing as you're going to get. But you then get into the age-old economics question of supply and demand. Lane Kiffin doesn't need elite wide receivers for his operation to work. He just doesn't. We have far better needs than wide receiver. As crazy as that sounds, because we are losing Aaron, we are losing Xavion, probably going to lose Nick. I mean, say what you want about him, but another year of Chris Hilton would be nice. You're losing Destin Hill. Kylan Billiott's gone. Jelani Watkins is gone. Your wide receiver coach is gone. But I am telling you right now, Cam Coleman is that mother effer, dude. He is so unfreaking believably good. There is a Mount Rushmore of LSU wide receivers that I think would be near impossible for him to reach in just one season. And that's obviously Jamar, Malik, and Justin. But I do think in one year at LSU, he can be that close. And I personally haven't seen it. Unless Colin Simmons goes into the portal. Or Jeremiah Smith, obviously, would be the best player in the portal, but that's not happening. Even though his comments about Miami was interesting. There's just not anyone that's as good as Cam Coleman. Okay? It's just that simple. Okay? Jack M. joined us on our Patreon. Good to see you, Jack M. I'll send you a message when we are done. All right. We also have Patreon. We also have the YouTube memberships. If you're a YouTube member, you get a cool little insignia next to your name, like Mr. John Sibley Butler. Happy New Year. Tigers will be like all the other teams, complete rebuild. Let's buy a team a new day. Sorsby's good, man. Sorsby's really, 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 really good. And then Mr. EJ knows ball. He's been commenting for a long time. He says, go grab Draylon Miller. And please go back to developing your wide receiver high school recruits. God, dude, I just couldn't imagine us landing Cam Coleman. How sick would that be? Wearing number 8
Malik Nabers. It'd be sick, man. It would be sick. But it's a pipe dream. I do think if you're going to land him, though, it's minimum $2 million. Minimum. Not my money. It's not my money, and you better have a plan at offensive line. But I do just want to reiterate this, because going into 2024, one thing I kept slamming the table for is that our defense did not have the dudes we needed to compete. We simply just didn't have it. And what happened? We didn't have it. You saw it. We had the highest rush yards before contact on defense in the SEC era per SEC StatCast. Okay. I mean, Amarion Miller. I said Draylon Miller. Who's Draylon Miller? Nick Marsh, the Michigan State transfer, is not as good as Cam Coleman, but he's pretty good. Marion Miller, he's a Colorado transfer. He's from Louisiana originally. Good kid, good player. I wouldn't mind it. I would not mind it at all. All right. You then get into, to me, individual player evaluations can be wrong. But what can't be wrong is where you need the most help. And to me, offensive line is by far the biggest priority. And I did a stream a few weeks ago saying, hey, quarterback is a bigger priority than the offensive line. And now I have changed to where the offensive line is more important to me now than the quarterback for a few reasons. Number one, quarterback is a onesie position. Now, we need to get two, but you need to get at least one elite one. This LSU offensive line has one player coming back that could play SEC football, and he was hurt a lot this year, and that's Braylon Moore. Other than that, there's nothing. And for our patrons, you've already seen me do an Eric Walford deep dive. And in that, I listened to a few interviews he did, and he is a big believer in having seven offensive linemen ready. And every offensive line coach would feel that way. So can you get seven different offensive linemen to commit? You're going to need no less than five. Okay? No less than five. Let's go to LSU Tigers 2898. How quickly do I expect players to start committing to LSU from the transfer portal? And then Pegasus follows up here as well. Yeah, I think it's going to come in waves. I really do. I think a few will announce. I think if there is one thing you would want is, not only do you want Ole Miss to lose versus Georgia, you want Ole Miss to get the brakes blown off of them. Okay? And I'm not just saying that from a Lane narrative standpoint. You really want their doors blown off. I mean, you want that back blown out. To use a pun, doggy style. Kidding. But that way it gets the process going a little bit sooner. You get obviously some players saying, hey, I can't go to that operation. I got to go to LSU. And you just want to get the ball rolling on that to where your coaches can come back and be fully locked in on getting signatures. Okay. But yeah, you'll see a few commitments over the weekend. Amorti's like, it ain't my money. Give Cam Coleman $3 million if he wants it. Man, dude, I'm telling you, as good as you think he might be, he's better than that. He really is that good. Literally one of the best high school wide receiver tapes I've ever watched. Shreveport is Tony's hometown. I can't wait to see all my fellow Shreveport natives. Let's go to Chance. You think players want to visit first or commit sight unseen? Well, Chance. Lane Kiffin committed to LSU without visiting. That's why he sent the family to BR. Now, of course, Lane's coached in BR, and he's recruited in BR before. Almost got a job as an OC in BR before. But players don't really care. Are you paying me the most money? Living arrangements are mostly the same. So yeah, it's a very business oriented type of thing. And it's a big thing, Chance. Obviously there's a lot of chatter about LSU and college football just in general, that this is really starting to turn people off about the sport. Everything is a business transaction, and you know, it just doesn't feel the same. And to that, you're right. I mean, yeah, I won't recite the Mac Brown quote from a few years ago that I always go to, but it's just true that this sport looks nothing like it did in 2019. And this also is going to come off as like the single most biased thing in the history of this channel. But I do find it poetic that the greatest college football team of all time was the last true national champion of the modern college football era. Of that era. Obviously, we're now in the modern, we're in the current era. But to me, that really was the last one, where you didn't have the portal being the way that it was. You didn't have NIL. And then, of course, 20 was a COVID year. And then 2021 is when all this stuff started to kick up. And then we had the expanded playoff. So yeah, you know, that was the last national champion, the LSU Tigers. And then it became the NIL world with Georgia. And then, to me, from Ohio State on forward, the way you have to look at those national champions are different than that of how you have to look at 2019 LSU. And I have to look at 2018 Clemson or anybody. Because when you expand the playoff, you can have a team legitimately play for a national championship after losing to Northern Illinois. You can have a team lose the two most important games on their schedule, including one in the final week of the season, and still host a playoff game and comfortably win a national championship like Ohio State did last year. You just can't look at the sport the same way. You just can't do it. And that's why, you know, you should be more welcome to more radical changes, such as 9-game conference schedules and so on. The one thing, just to get out in front of this, that I hope does not come to college football is what's happening with college basketball now, that you can play in the NBA G League, get drafted in the draft, and then come back and play college basketball, like what happened with Baylor over this weekend. And I tweeted out just a joke that LSU should inquire about some NBA guys. I think it was like Zachary Rikischer, the number one draft pick from a few years ago. And the more I've thought about it, I was like, hey, if the rules are the way they are now, we're a desperate basketball program. Let's take advantage of the rules. But I swear, if college football ever elects to allow someone who got drafted in the NFL draft and then come back and play college football,
That's a bridge too far. That is a bridge too far. And I know Charlie Baker addressed it today. I wasn't able to read the quote, but it's wild to me. All right, here's what we're going to do. Next 5 to 10 minutes, I'll answer as many as we possibly can. If you super chat, we'll keep this party moving. You know, I want to give you a little bit of LSU intel. Here at the end, okay? So we do it every week, and I meant to do this at the 30-minute mark. It's my fault. Everybody's favorite segment in the history of the internet. What did Lane tweet today? And here we go. One thing Lane did tweet out, and I don't know if we're going to get to it, but Lane did tweet out a fake reporter's report that Harlan Berry is considering Ole Miss. I don't think that's true. I think you should feel pretty good about Harlan Berry coming back to LSU. Okay. Lane retweets Governor Landry. A Ross Dellinger retweet from Lane. We addressed this a little bit earlier today. And this was what we touched on a little bit earlier. Multiple employees of ESPN, the SEC television partner, openly admit to inserting themselves in a coaching change involving two member programs. I think we had a class or two in that journalism school. It seems bad. All right. So this is, I feel like I'm in a unique position to answer and talk about Michael. I've met Michael before, shared a table with him at SEC Media Days. And Michael, if you're watching, you have an open invite to jump on the channel. All right. So let's go through journalism. I have a journalism degree. I'm not a journalist. Not everybody at ESPN is a journalist. If Marty Smith was the one tweeting Lane Kiffin, hey, I think you should go to LSU, that's a different story. Or if you want to use an LSU journalist that's on the national stage, Amy Britton or David Hellman, if they tweeted Chris Branch, if they tweeted Lane Kiffin, hey, or they texted Lane Kiffin, hey, you should go to LSU. It's different. They're journalists. But Michael is reacting to Ryan Clark texting Lane Kiffin about the LSU job every day after the Brian Kelly firing. All right. That's a different animal. Ryan Clark is not a journalist. He has never claimed to be a journalist. He has never said, hey, I want to abide by the journalism code of ethics. Ryan Clark never said, hey, I am the next Sarah Ganim. I'm the next Shirley Povich. I'm the next Grantland Rice, the next Peter Gammons. He never said any of that. Never, not once. And Lane just says it's just different. That's all. And I know that's going to piss quite a few Ole Miss fans off because they truly do believe with what Nick Saban said, what the College Game Day segment said, now what Ryan Clark has said. They really do think there is a grain conspiracy against Ole Miss for Lane Kiffin to go to LSU. But here's the difference. It's that LSU is the it school. It's just that simple. It's just that simple. Could Ryan Clark's texts have swayed Lane Kiffin? Maybe so. But understand, the E in ESPN stands for entertainment. Ryan Clark is an entertainer. He's not a journalist. And that's not anything against Ryan Clark. Once again, I have a journalism degree. I'm not a journalist. Now, I will say, if when Ryan Clark signed his contract at ESPN, and it said, you cannot sway conflicts of interest with our television partners and teams, that's a different story. Now, if he signed something like that, then yeah, that's against the rules. And we touched on this a little bit earlier about Matt Bowers. I cannot hate on Matt Bowers, even though he's an Ole Miss booster. Nice guy on Twitter, and he's putting money in our players' pockets. You're not gonna get a bad word from me if you do that. Tiger Woods sent Lane Kiffin some merch. What do y'all think of the Tiger Woods Sunday Red? What makes this interesting as far as Tiger Woods sending Lane Kiffin a swag box is Tiger Woods started his own thing. He left Nike. I just don't know about the logo. I just don't know about the... I never got on board with the Tiger Woods logo. And then Matt Bowers also hooked Lane up with the Bentley. So type Y for yes, type N for no. Have you ever been in a Bentley? Type Y for yes, type N for no. I have never been in a Bentley. I really, 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 really hope one day I can ride in a Bentley. John Bon Jovi saved a woman's life in Nashville. This was many years ago. It was a crazy video. I'm not going to share it for copyright reasons. Lane Kiffin tweeted this out this morning. Woke up to this to start my day. Sorry, I still love you. 2025 is almost over. Send this to someone that ruined your year. Break no contact this one time. Who ruined my year? I don't know. I really don't know if anybody ruined my year. Let's keep it moving. Three more days till the New Year's. Dylan Cruz, Odell. I don't know who this is in the top left. But the best sport in the world is in the top left corner. Argue with your mama. Poaching is apparently the same. And this is someone else tweeting this. And Lane just retweeting it. Poaching is apparently the same thing as hiring an LSU coach that was not retained. Retweet of Charlie Weiss. Still weird to be employed by Ole Miss or LSU. And you wear Ole Miss gear. Huh? But this was the fake report. Nathan Fowler, reporter covering the SEC beat, he, him. Here's a late Christmas present for Rebel fans. Hollenberry will be following Frank Wilson to Ole Miss. I'm still shocked Lane Kiffin retweeted this, but it's fake. Ole Miss fans should be very proud of everything that they accomplished. 11-win regular season, 12-win season overall, 9-0 home record. First playoff win. Farrah Yvette. I used to work with Farrah. Two Louisiana icons. LSU women's basketball should have let Boosie do the halftime show today. And that was from the weekend, of course. Okay, this is a Jabari Mack tweet, and now we're getting into a few stuff that we covered. And then here is the one I really wanted to get to. Lane Kiffin retweeting
Pro Football Focus. Where should he transfer to? Max Chadwick included potential landing spots, Alabama, LSU, Texas A&M. Now, I will say, these aren't reported landing spots, I believe. I think this is just where Max Chadwick thinks Cam Coleman should go. Went. I definitely can't show that tweet. Tyler Shuck got the Matt Bowers treatment. Wayne tweeting out a Raising Cane's cup and another motivational quote. Sometimes your simplest visions are your most honest ones, your most sincere truths. Boosie spelling Lane Kiffin wrong. It's perfect, dude. It's perfect. So that is what Lane Kiffin has tweeted today. Booger McFarland was on the bandwagon for Kiffin. I love it. Yeah, let's do it. Why not? Let's put your comments on the screen. Take a few more here. Okay. One more thing. I want to there was one thing that I kind of and I didn't put into my show notes here. Oh. So big money in college football always ruins everything. I think a lot of you have seen this, whether it's private equity or whatever it may be. Okay. For me, one thing money could change, and this was something that happened a few years ago, where there was a viewer of the channel who worked for the Sugar Bowl, and he came to our season opening 2022 party, and he came up to me and said, hey, the Sugar Bowl might leave New Orleans. There might be someone that could outbid NOLA to have the Sugar Bowl. And the truth is, I hope that doesn't happen. I have been to 13 Sugar Bowls, give or less one or two. It is one of the best experiences in college football. New Orleans is made to host big games in the Superdome. Final Fours, concerts, anything. It's just a really good city to do that very thing. And I hope that doesn't happen. I really, really, really hope that does not happen. Okay? Now, could we see it happen? Yeah. See here. H-Town wants CJ Bailey for 2 years. The NC State transfer. So LSU did hire Austin Shelton today. And Austin Shelton was someone that worked at NC State
in a personnel role, and he's coming over to LSU to do that same thing. You know, part of why we've not talked CJ Bailey is that we've talked so much about him previously. And yeah, I'm open to it. Skinnier QB who has some rushing ability. It's not elite. Throws a pretty deep ball, has a lot of snaps. I'm open. I'm definitely open to that. Okay. But I do, I think I would prefer Sorsby though. Okay. All right, y'all. That'll do it for me. I really hope each and every one of you have a very happy new year. We will not be live tomorrow. We will not be. Enjoy it. I am DJing a New Year's Eve party for the third straight year in a row, block party. So wish me luck. It's going to be cold. The other block parties, they had heaters for me. I'm not going to have heaters. So I'm going to be out there performing in the ice cold midnight terrain. Now, I will move the discussion over to the Discord. Please sign up for our Patreon. That gets you Discord access. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow. It is Power Hour LSU. Boom. Tonight, we are doing chicken. Let's go. Let's go.